to Lee Sharon. I was just praying, Lord, what would you have us to share? I knew it wouldn't probably be time to get into a whole chapter of Acts. And God has been stirring some things in my heart just the last couple of weeks. We're going to do this last week, but between technical difficulties and weather and everything, decided to do it this week. And so some things that God's been stirring in my heart, and just some good practical principles. I think, it's exciting to see things like this that we can never plan, we can never organize, we can never orchestrate, but things that God's doing by His Spirit. Here, having John come and share on faith and kind of stepping out and Lee doing it, and then us having the opportunity to benefit from that by seeing it here in live and in person. And then the last couple of weeks, as I mentioned, the opportunity to kind of pray over, Lord, how would, perhaps we get involved, and what would you want to speak to our hearts, here? And then in last week, as we wrapped up, seeing that the folks there, how they determined to help, and God's stirring this message here in terms of what would you have for us today, Lord, as individuals and as a church? Because, the Christian life, there's no question it's the most exciting life. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that we can get involved in. There's a lot of great causes, in the world. There's, wonderful careers, great trips, great activities, sports, you name it. A lot of just great things. We're blessed in this life that we can be involved in. But by without question, the greatest is living for Jesus. The greatest is this mission, really, that you and I and us as a church family are on together. And so I wanted to share a few thoughts about that God's been stirring in my heart, really the last number of weeks in particular. And I think that helps kind of give us focus, going forward. Focus here in this life. And so we're going to start a message titled Living with Purpose, A Life on Mission. Because really, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are on mission here on this earth. We are we're ambassadors of Christ. Just like, we have ambassadors around the world, right, that represent our government. And they go out to other countries with a vision and a purpose to be there, diplomatic and other, sometimes humanitarian. But a number of different purposes that they're there and they serve representing their government. Well, we here on this earth, as ambassadors of Christ from heaven, representing Him here on this earth, we have some unique privileges that are quite exciting. So we're going to dive in, and there's four things that I want for us, and I'll mention them, and Lord willing, we'll get through all four of them today. But the first, here in 1 Peter chapter 2, that I think is important for us to just own and to realize and to apply is first and foremost to realize who you are in Christ. Who each of us as believers are in Christ. That we, without doubt, are part of a family. We're part of a family with a purpose. With a purpose throughout this life. We're part of a church family, a local church family here, as brothers and sisters. But we're also part of a huge church family around the world. Right? All believers. And anybody here, and I know many of you have stepped out in various ways and been in other cultures and served in various ways to see that. I've been in Cuba, and I remember sitting in Cuba. We go there to bless people and end up being just blessed many times over, whether we bring medical supplies or money or training of some sort, which we would do often down there. It's like just sitting there and, like Lee, I don't necessarily understand all the words, but like in worship, for example, you what's that called? The melody. You recognize the song, and I speak a little Spanglish. And so you sort of recognize some of what they're singing and just the joy of the people, the passion of the people. And so here in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9 and really focus on verses 9 and 10, but it's always good to get context as we read the scriptures and kind of see. I love, reading through these guys that God has inspired. God breathed these books into existence by these men who walked with Jesus and served Jesus, ended up giving their lives for Jesus. And later on in their life, after they've lived, fruitful and productive lives for the Lord. It's awesome to read and see, what do they have to say? You know, what can we learn? And so Peter, here in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And he's speaking to all believers, right? That let us never lose that passion and that desire for the pure milk of the word of God, right? Never lose that desire to learn and grow. In fact, he compares it to the way that a young baby desires really milk from his mom. You know, that's their nourishment, that food. He says, man, may you never lose that passion for God's word. Never lose that desire that we may grow thereby. That's how we continue to mature and to grow as believers, is through the word of God. "If indeed," he says, "you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And you know what? If you're born again, if you're saved, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. You've experienced that joy of being forgiven. You've experienced the blessing of just having hope. Hope for today. Hope for the rest of the day. You know, sometimes I get thinking about, you know, the future, and it's good to plan. You know, it's like someone once said, "You fail to plan, plan to fail." You know, it's good to think through that. But sometimes I just need to think through the end of the day. You know, just hope for today. And so it's a blessing in Christ to have that. And so we have indeed tasted these good. And he says in verse 4, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also," so Jesus Christ, of course, being that living stone, "but listen, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer special sacrifices acceptable to God," or spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. One thing that you see here, and this is why one reason we say realize you're part of a family. He's talking about community here, right? He's not talking about what I sometimes can struggle with, the Lone Ranger Christianity. You know what I mean? Thinking that, you know, me and Jesus, you know, listen to the terminology. Living stones, plural, built up into a spiritual house. You know, you don't need a whole house for one individual. A holy priesthood, a priest is singular. A priesthood is a family. You're a family. You belong to a family of believers to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. "Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him,'" of course, capital H there, speaking of the Lord Jesus, "will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious." And isn't he precious? Man, you think of what Christ has done for us. You think of him coming to earth and paying for our sin, dying so that we could be forgiven. Everything we've ever done, I think back over, you know, it's 47 plus years, and I think, man, Jesus paid for all of that. And guess what? Everything we'll ever do. "Precious indeed, to you who believe, precious, but to those who are disobedient," he says, "the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense," to those, of course, who reject him. "They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed." So for context there, then he goes into this powerful, powerful statement about you and about me, who we are in Christ and what we possess and the privilege we have here in this life of mission. Listen to this. He says, "But you, believers, you are a chosen generation." That should make you feel special. God's chosen you. He loves you. He's for you. "A royal priesthood," right? Not just an individual priest. You're a royal priesthood. That's pretty cool. I don't quite understand all of that, but it sounds pretty cool. You and I are a royal priesthood. We belong to the Lord, and we represent the Lord. "You're a holy nation." Again, this idea of community together. "His own special people, that you may," what? "Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." There you have purpose, right? To live for the glory of God. To proclaim the praises and the glory and the majesty of our mighty King who has paid the price for us. Life on mission, a life with purpose. Who were once, check this out, and this applies to all of us, right? Who were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. What a radical thing for us to realize that we're part of this huge family of God in Christ Jesus. together. You know, there's so many people in our culture, and we're talking about this a bit yesterday, in our culture who are just without hope, right? They're like alone. They're out there and they need love. They feel disconnected. Maybe they are. Guess what? Even brothers and sisters of yours and mine in our own communities who feel disconnected, and God has something so much better for them, because we're once not a people, but now are a people. And I love this. You know, I remember in my life, I spent almost 25 years as a non-believer. And I remember just going from, you know, whether it was party to party or activity to activity or kind of the weekend warrior kind of mentality. And then finally coming to Christ and just feeling like, man, this is real. So many times I've heard that word, by the way, people who get saved. This is real. And it is real in Christ what we have. And it's awesome. We were not a people, but now you are the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Man, I am so thankful for that. Peter's message here to us is so awesome. You didn't used to belong, but now you belong to God and to God's people. And the purpose of this privilege is not really to make us proud, but the purpose is so that we can proclaim, as he says here, the praises of him who has done such great things for us. That family, right, this family that we have here on this earth has purpose. And if you want to sort of write it down or sort of get it into your mind, Lord, what are some things that I can set forth to say is what I'm doing consistent with you? It kind of helps sometimes to narrow down. There's a few things that God has laid out very clear for us as believers in his word, right? The first is what we read about here. One, we're part of a family, and this family, the purpose is to bring glory to God. You know, when we function as a family and function together in the Lord, God is glorified. You know, it's not about an individual or, a type of church. It's fun to, you know, announce nights of worship at different churches, you know, and even different, but you know, non-denominations, if you want to call them that, you know what I mean? But because we're part of a church family, you know, we have one Lord, and that is Jesus. And so in our purpose is to bring glory to the Lord. He's also laid out the greatest commandment, right? Jesus talked about that. They came up to test him and said, what is the great commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Break it down, love God, love people. I like what someone else said. Break it down even to one word, love, right? But love God and love people. Lord, is what I'm involved in, is what I am doing consistent with bringing you glory, right? And am I loving you, putting you first, seeking first your kingdom, and am I loving people? And then finally, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, what we refer to as the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One reason that we feel like God, we've kind of done different things over the years in terms of a midweek, but God's clearly spoken in terms of getting into his word, right? The importance, and I love the fact that we get to talk about his word, you know, and grow desire, the pure milk of the word, like babies desire their nourishment, and the importance of making disciples. And so realize, number one, that you who you are in Christ, you're part of a family with a purpose. And then secondly, pray with all your heart. This life with a purpose, this life on mission, it's so important to pray. Jump with me over to Colossians chapter 1. And you know, and you say, Steve, you know, what do you mean by pray effectively or pray specifically? Let me show you here. You know, obviously there's times of prayer, and it's important where, you know, we are just really pouring our heart out to God. Where you know, we're just maybe weeping before the Lord. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that sometimes, you know, we just even groan in the Spirit, and the Spirit makes intercession for us. You know, and it's good just to pour your heart out to God. It's good just to share with him what's burdening you. But it's also important to engage our mind, you know, as part of our prayer life, to engage our mind. And I think it's wise, you know, for years, I would hear people talk about praying prayers that are in the Bible. And I would think, well, what are some of those prayers? You know, how do I pray? I want to pray effectively. I know you want to pray effectively and efficiently. And there's times where we cry before the Lord and weep and tell it. But there's also times where we intercede. And here in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells the church there at Colossae some things that he prays for them. And I would encourage you to write this down and to pray these things. Pray them for me. I need this. Pray them for each other. Pray them for your family, your kids, your grandkids. Pray these things. Check this out, what Paul says here in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 9. Paul says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Right? So the Apostle Paul prayed all the time, apparently. He says, "We do not cease to pray for you." And then check out the things that he prays for them about. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in his light. And so here's five or six things that Paul prays for the church here that he would, I would suggest, would encourage us to pray for as well. And first he says that they may know God's will, that you may know God's will. So pray that we may know God's will. We make it sort of mysterious, but God has spelled out how to live for him. Right? That's what the Bible is for. The owner's manual, if you will. Here's what you do to live for the Lord. It's not, you know, rules and regulations, how we get to heaven. No, it's through Christ alone that we're saved. But here's how to live for the Lord. And so Paul says, we pray that you would know God's will. And that he says here verse 9, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And we've talked about this, the reality that if you've come to Christ, right, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've given your life to following him, that you are pleasing to him because you're in Christ. But here Paul prays that we would walk worthy of him, of our Lord and our Savior, fully pleasing to him. So the reality is there are actions that we can do, right? Manners of living that are pleasing to God and not pleasing to God. Now, there's a number of things that, you know, I could choose to go out and do this afternoon that would please the Lord. And there's a number of things that I could choose to do or not do, right, that wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. And so Paul prays that they would know God's will and that they would make the decision to walk worthy of God. And if you think about what God has done for us, man, he is worthy of our lives, and he's worthy of our walk. And so walk worthy. The next thing he prays is that they would be fruitful. And, you know, this is something that we don't have so much control over, right? We can choose to do God's will or choose not to do God's will, right? That's the choice that we have. We can choose to live in a way that's pleasing to God or not pleasing to God. And that's our day-to-day life and our workplaces and our homes and our communities and our schools and our, you know, sports teams or community activities. But we can't really control the fruit, so to speak. But we can choose to keep ourselves in that place. You know, it's like my pastor used to, you know, do this funny illustration about fruit. You know, you don't see trees, and there's an apple tree out here. And man, in the, you know, summer and fall, there's a lot of apples on it. Well, you don't see it striving, right? It just kind of hangs out there. It's connected to the branches are connected to the trunk, and the trunk is in the ground, and it's taking in nourishment, and it's, you know, it's not trying to go, oh, I'm trying to, you know, bud apples or whatever, right? It's just being a tree, and it's just soaking in the nutrients, and fruit is coming. And so, but it's good to pray, right? Because fruit really depends upon the Lord, right? We can get ourselves in that place and do what we can, but he prays that they would bear fruit. He prays that they would be strengthened in his might. Man, and I pray for that. I want to be strengthened in God's might, that we would be patient. I don't know if you're like me sometimes. Lord, I want patience and I want it now. You know what I mean? But Paul prays, and I think it's wise for us to pray for patience. He says there that we'd be strengthened in his might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering, which is just really more patience, and with joy. right? So to be patient and full of joy. Those are two other things you can write down that, and pray for people. And then last but not least, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the light. So in summary, know God's the things that I think are healthy and biblical to pray for. Pray that people would know God's will. Pray that you would know God's will, that I would, that we would know God's will, that we would walk worthy of the Lord who has called us and who has redeemed us, that we would be fruitful and that we would be strengthened in his might, that we would be patient and we'd be full of joy. How do you do what you do? Well, Paul says the love of Christ constrains me. The love for God and the love for what he wants compels us to do what we do, right? And we read the joy of the Lord throughout the scriptures. The joy of the Lord is our strength. How do we do that? Staying connected to him. So for time's sake, we'll finish this up next week, but I'm going to give you some principles to think on and to pray on, and we'll talk how we can know this and how we can do this next week. So first is realize who you are in Christ, that you are part of a family with a purpose, and it's a glorious purpose throughout this life. Secondly, pray with all of your heart. Pray effectively. Pray specifically. Pray just pouring out before the Lord in tears sometimes, and in hope and in desperation sometimes, but spend time also engaging your mind and praying specifically as God outlines here. And there's a number of others. This is just one example of prayers that are prayed in the Bible, and there's some key points that I think are wise to include. Third is listen for the Lord. Seek his direction. And we'll talk because this is sort of a thing that people will have all sorts of different thoughts. We'll talk about some biblical principles for hearing from God. I mean, and there's many of them, and there's ways that we can, be more certain that we're hearing from the Lord. And then last but not least is take tangible steps of faith following his direction. Jesus said, go make disciples, right? And so it requires that we take tangible steps of faith. We determine what we're going to do, and then do it. Oswald Chambers had a great devotion this week on initiative, and we'll dive into that a little bit. But the reality is our choices impact the fruit of our life. Amen? And so I don't know about you, but, we can look back, and I look back at times and say, you know what? It's like, the past is what it is. I want to finish well. I want to finish well on fire for Jesus. And I hope that when, I get that day standing before the Lord, one or five or however many minutes after I die, I don't know how long it's going to be, but after when I stand before the Lord, that I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. There's a lot of things that we can choose to live for, but I want us to see that, man, we have a mission. We're part of a mission. And I'm excited as a church here, small church in the middle of Iowa, central Iowa, to see how God's going to use us. I shared last week some things I think God's doing here locally. I'm excited about it, and it's fun to see how God has brought together a family who love the Lord, who love one another, who have a heart to care for people. I look around, I can think of every person, ways that we've ministered to other people, cared for other people. We may not know about each other. Sometimes I get to chat with more people and hear from each how we're functioning. But it's awesome to see and be a part of that. And so I'm excited. We'll talk some more about this life on mission next week. And let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the reality, God, of this life here on earth. God, certainly there's a lot of causes we could be a part of, Lord, a lot of careers we could pursue, Lord, a lot of things that we could do. But Lord, certainly and above all, Lord, seeking you and your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord. And so I pray, Father, that you would just fill us afresh this morning with hope, God, from you. That, Lord, that you would help us to know your will and to walk worthy of you. Father, that you would help us to be fruitful as individuals, Lord, as a family and as a church family. Lord, I'm so blessed by these people, Lord, here, our precious family at Calvary Chapel, Lord. So thankful for the work you're doing in our midst. And I pray that you would help us to be fruitful, Lord, and to be strengthened in your might, regardless of what the week has been or the month has been or whatever, that we'd be strengthened in your might, Lord, and God, we would be full of joy. God, that we'd be patient and that we'd be thankful, Lord. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. God, thank you for paying for our sin. Lord, thank you for love. God, so many people don't have that. And God, as each of us stands here or sits here this morning, God, we all know that we're loved. If we question that, all we have to do is look at the cross and see Jesus, who's paid for our sin because he loves us. And then, Lord, to look around and see other people who really do love us. I'm grateful for my family here, God. And I just pray that you would, Lord, help us to rest in your love for us, to be filled with your purpose in this life on mission, and to live for your glory, God. We thank you so much for who you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand together and we'll close in a song.
Glory to the Lord.